Well, hello, my friends. Good evening. Welcome into the JMAC podcast. I don't know what happened to the music there. It just died. Can you guys hear me okay? Can you see me okay? It just, part of it is my daughter called. Hang on, I'm going to adjust my image here a little bit. She should know I'm about to go live. And she is calling, but she was actually butt dialing me. So hopefully everything's okay. As many of you know, she's in Florida right now. She had to evacuate from Louisiana. And she was right in the flight path of New Orleans. And so when she calls, I'm going to pick up the phone for sure. And but it was a butt dial both times. So I'll check in with her. A lot of times she's watching the live stream. So hopefully she is okay. And thank you, everybody, so much for your very kind words. Those of you who knew that where she lives and reached out to me, that's very kind. Heather gives us the thumbs up. You guys can hear me okay. Kathy and David, all of you on Facebook, thank you for joining me. Very cool. Lots to talk about tonight. I hope things are going well with you. I have an announcement that we'll start off with. This is courtesy of Chris Larson, one of our listeners, also one of our patrons. Many of you know he came up with a logo. He actually paid to have this designed. He came up with a logo for Carl the Cricket, who's been hanging outside of the window here and trying to chime in on the podcast. Now, Carl's not so loud tonight. Maybe you can hear him. I don't know if you can hear him. But Carl's got his own swag now. You ready to see this? Check it out. Carl the Cricket has his own t-shirt. So that is very funny and very cool. If you want some Carl the Cricket swag, go ahead. We also got other merch. So we got Tweet Others the Way You Want to Be Tweeted. We got a JMAC mask. We got JMAC t-shirts, and if you come in and you're a patron of the podcast and you come in at a certain level, you get a free t-shirt. So that'd be cool. Anyway, enough self promotion. There was one other thing that I wanted to mention to you, and I'm trying to remember. Heather says do I get royalties for naming him? Absolutely. Absolutely. Was it you, Heather? You were the one? We'll have to go back and check the record so that it's legal, you know, so that it's all clear and legal. I had something else I wanted to tell you. Oh, yeah. Check this out. In the description, wherever you're watching, I want you to see if this works. You guys are always my guinea pigs because you give such great feedback. There is a link. It's a Feedly link that should take you to the links to the stories that I talk about. And it's links that I talk about and links that I'm interested in. But so often you guys are like, hey, can you send me a link to that? Or can you send me a link to that? So this is kind of a link to my show prep. So I hope it works. It should be a public link. Anytime I'm talking about a story and you want the reference, I want you to be able to just click on that link in the description and go to it and check it out. So Heather says, can I get that in writing? You know. Hey, Carl, can she get that in writing? Huh, crickets. I hope you guys are doing well. You know, big things today. Hurricane Ida. If you saw, I posted this to the blog on jmcfarland.com, the videos of the subway systems being flooded by this hurricane, buses being flooded. It's 40 people killed. This has been one dangerous and damaging storm. And it's going to have an impact on the economy. It's going to have an impact on fuel prices. It's going to have an impact on goods and services. This hurricane is going to affect us all, even if it's not affecting somebody close to you. That's right, Ryan. Crickets, Orion. Crickets. That's right. Okay. So, two stories I want to talk about tonight. And you can tell me what's on your mind if you're thinking of something different. If you want to try and sidetrack me, then we can do that as well. The first one is Governor Cox. I saw this story and I just put my hands in my head in my hands. And couldn't believe it. So much so that I reached out to the governor's office. They have responded to me in the past because I have, it's not a major relationship, but I have known the governor in the past and we have been friendly towards each other. He knows who I am. And I reached out to them a little while ago about coming on the podcast. They were very busy, but very responsive. So I was hoping that when I saw this story and I sent an email to them, that they would be just as responsible. And guess what I've gotten so far? Yeah, crickets. Nothing. And that's very disappointing to me. Very disappointing. And this has to do, and I want to know what you think, if Governor Cox flip-flopped on masks. So we'll talk about that. Also, screaming banner headlines, the end of Roe v. Wade, that Trump making Supreme Court nominations, the primary goal was to get rid of Roe v. Wade. I'll tell you, is this the end of Roe v. Wade? And I'll try and break down. I'm still looking into it, but I feel like I have a decent understanding, so we can look at that as well. So let's talk about Governor Cox. He was doing so well. He was riding that line pretty well. You know, not making one side or the other tremendously happy with him, which is usually a sign that you're probably in the right when neither side is overwhelmed with your decisions. Here we go. Utah Governor Spencer Cox disputed remarks on masking made by state health leaders questioning masks' effectiveness against the coronavirus's Delta variant during a news conference on Tuesday. This was after Utah state epidemiologist Dr. Michelle Hoffman said there will be enduring harm to our children and generations to come if we do not stop the divisiveness around the things we know work, like masks and vaccines. We know the path to healing is the end of this pandemic, and it hasn't ended yet, even if we want to pretend it has. So here's the state epidemiologist, the one who went, you know, who got training and who studies these things, the expert. And right after her, here comes Governor Cox, and what does he say? Quote, masks are not as effective as most of the pro-mask crowd are arguing. He said, we know that they are just not. So basically, he came right behind the state epidemiologist and threw her under the bus and threw scientific research and knowledge out the window, completely out the window. And because I have experience with the governor, because I think he is a good man, because I think he tries to make the best decisions possible, and I haven't felt previously that he was kowtowing to the political pressure, and maybe I was wrong about that, I was really surprised by this and really disappointed. And so what I did is I thought, well, maybe he's seen something, because he used pretty clear words. He says, we know that they're just not. So in my limited thinking, if you come out and you're a governor and you say, we know that they're not, then it's fair to say, how do you know? Right? How do you know? So I got on the email. I wonder if I have it here. I should have been ready with the email before I came on the air. But you know me, I don't think about things till I get on the air. Let me see if I can find it here. Oh, I've sent a lot of email here recently. Oh, here it is. Okay, so this is to Jennifer Napier Pierce, who I also know. I've did a TV appearance with Jennifer. I met her. I like her. And that's why I believe she responded to me when I've reached out to her. And so why wouldn't I have an expectation that she responds this time? So here's what I said. You tell me if I was out of line here. I said, "Hey, Jennifer, I'm reaching out to you with a request that I'm sure that you have received hundreds of times already. It's based upon the quote from Governor Cox about masks." And then I put the quote in. I said, "Can you provide me with the source material that the governor is basing his clear knowledge on?" Is that too much to ask? I said, "Or help me understand if this quote is being taken out of context. I'm really trying to understand why the governor is going against state experts on this. I have agreed with most of his positions to date on the issue, but this seems reckless and without backing. So any clarity you can give me on this would be nice." And what have I gotten? Carl, what have I gotten? Crickets. Not even a form response. Nothing. Now, I'm going to jump to a conclusion here. It's not something I do often, but I'm going to guess here that the reason she didn't just go, "Oh, sure, I've gotten this request 50 times today, so I've got it right here. Control C, Control V, copy and paste. Here you go, JMac. Thanks for asking, and thanks for not going after us and giving us the benefit of the doubt." Isn't that what should have happened immediately? And anybody who asks, because I'm sure they're getting thousands of emails. Copy and paste. Boom, here you go. Copy and paste. Here you go. Here is the study. Here's what the governor is referencing. When there is a failure to provide evidence, and this is one of the things I talk about, because I hate the term flip-flopping. You know I do, because we assign flip-flopping to when somebody changes their opinion as a result of new knowledge and understanding. That's not flip-flopping. That's growing. That's progressing. So when Utah Representative Chris Stewart went after the CDC saying they flip-flopped on their mask guidance, that was such a ridiculous load of you-know-what, because they didn't flip-flop. They gave new guidance on the new variant and new research out about the new variant. And if he had taken 5 minutes to research that and discover that, he could have been a mouthpiece to help spread the word and save lives. But he didn't want to do that. He seized on a political opportunity to go after Biden, calling the CDC Biden's CDC. Notice that when the CDC was giving out similar guidelines during the Trump administration, it wasn't Trump's CDC. So, I don't know. So, Orion's bringing up a good point. Not when you're getting 20,000 emails and you're one person, he says. When Lori Stringham got 3,000 emails a couple of weeks ago from the mass debacle, it took Abby 3 days to respond to all of those. A great majority copy and paste. Yeah, I recognize it could take time, and so maybe I'm caught up in the quagmire. But I can promise you, because I'm not a major member of the media, I'm a little guy now. You know, I'm not on KSL anymore. She's got no reason to rush to respond to me. But I can promise you that KSL called. I can promise you that every TV station and every radio station called. And they said, "Can you give us the evidence?" I promise you that happened immediately. So yeah, you may be going through your emails, but if you truly believe what you just said, then you answer those media calls and you send the word out to the people and you back up what you have to say. And when you don't, then unfortunately you leave us with one conclusion. And that's the conclusion that Cheryl is sharing. Cox caved, what a wimp. When you can't provide reasoning for your flip-flop, then it is a flip-flop. And that label sticks. But if you come out and you say, no, here's the study, here's why I used to feel this way, now I feel this way, and here's why. That to me is not a flip-flop, and I hate it when people get attacked for that. But when you blatantly change your position and now you're going against the state health experts and people out there are going, yeah, that's true. And so now the Delta variant, let me ask you this. Do you think that as a result of his comments, Delta variant has more likelihood of spreading or less likelihood of spreading? Well, in my opinion, you better have some pretty good reasoning for that. And as I've said the whole time, if you want to make the civil liberties argument, if you want to be the governor of Utah and say, look, masks work, but I'm not going to make you wear them, and I think it's a violation of civil liberties to do that, then that's fine. Make that argument. But once again, I ask the question, why do Republicans have to attack the science to make the civil liberties argument? Why do they have to do that? Why can't you make the civil liberties argument and encourage people to make a good, healthy choice for everybody else? The only thing I can think of is that really they know in their heart the civil liberties argument doesn't stand up. And so they have to attack the science. It's like their subconscious coming up and saying, I've got to have more reason for this because my soul and my very character says I should probably be encouraging people to wear a mask. Either that or it's just pure politics. Either that or he's heard so many people angry at him for encouraging people to wear a mask, because that's what he's done in the past, then he's starting to worry about his job and his legacy. And as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to tax breaks and building bridges and whether or not we should have, whatever it is, if you want to play politics in that arena, fine. Fine. I hate it, but fine. But you're playing with lives now. The cards in the deck are very different now. You are putting people's lives at risk by criticizing the science and not giving anybody a reason why. You are playing into hysteria. You are playing into conspiracy theories. When it'd be just so easy to say, look, please wear a mask, but I don't feel I have the authority to tell you to wear a mask. Done. Done. My friends, I just, when you're willing, and again, maybe she'll respond to me, but when you're willing to put the politics and your continued job security above the lives of other people, there's a word for that. And it's a word I don't throw around lightly. You know me. The word is evil. It's evil. If you're willing to throw known science that will save people's lives under the bus because you're worried about political ramifications, that's evil. It's the definition of evil. People will die so that you can keep a job. What else can you call it? Especially when it would be so easy to just make the civil liberties argument and support the science at the same time. Why is that so hard? I just really do not know why that is hard. Ryan says, Republicans have been attacking science for hundreds of years. When Galileo argued a sun-centric solar system, the Republican running the Catholic Church flipped their minds. Were they members of the Republican Party, the United States Republican Party? Or do you mean conservatives or, you know, what do you mean? Republicans have not been around as long as, you know, a lot of those other entities. But point taken. I just don't know anymore. I'm just lost all faith in this party. I've lost faith. You know, up until this happened, you would have heard me say, you know, nationally, the Republican Party is in a real mess and is in an identity crisis and needs to be completely overhauled and reformed. But thank goodness here locally, you know, there's some reason. But then we saw Salt Lake County make their decision and the excuses they gave for their decision. I've already dealt with those. They do not hold water in any way, shape, or form. They just don't. This is Bossy on Twitch. He says, are you left or right? Or she says, I don't know if you're he or she. What do you think? Am I left or right? You shouldn't be able to tell if I'm left or right if I am asking for the governor to back up his statement on masks not being as effective. There should be no left or right in that discussion. None. That's what is blowing my mind here. If you want to be in the discussion of civil liberties and you think that that the government has no right to tell you to wear a mask, there's a left or right argument there. But there should be no left or right in listening to the state epidemiologist. There is a left and right in how you want to respond to her recommendations. But if you feel the need to throw known science under the bus to back up your recommendations, is it left or right for me to ask you to say, can you do me a quick favor and send me the research or the support material to back up this claim? Is that left or right? Think about it. This should not be a left or right argument. Never should have been. And I feel like if we didn't have a vacuum of leadership during the pandemic, that we wouldn't be in this situation. I really do. Michael says, it does just make me crazy. I know, Michael. Paul, joining us on Facebook, labels don't add anything to the argument. Discuss facts or forget labels. That's why I asked. That's why I answered the question the way I did. Because it shouldn't matter. If I'm asking for the governor to back up his statement that masks are not as effective as most of the pro-mask crowd are arguing, if I ask him to say, hey, before you were encouraging people to wear a mask, now you're saying they're not as effective. Can you please tell me why you seem to have made a change? And if I have misinterpreted that you have made a change, can you help me understand why? And if you do believe the words that are flying out of your face, can you back them up? See, there's nothing right or left about any of that. There's nothing. And that's why Paul's right. The minute we make this about left or right, the minute fact, it goes out the window completely, right? So I will answer your question, Bossy. I don't know if you're new. If I'm left or right, it depends on the issue. I've called myself a conservative my whole life, primarily because I believe in smaller government. I don't like federalized government. I don't like federal programs. And if you go back and you listen to a lot of my podcasts, I will clearly articulate why smaller government is the better way to go and less government involvement. But I'm also a student of the Constitution and of the Supreme Court and of laws. And the argument that people are making about masks not being a violation of a civil right, they just don't hold any legal standing whatsoever. They, in my opinion, show a lack of understanding of the separation of powers and of the 10th Amendment. And it's like everybody just suddenly forgets that you're forced to wear clothes. You're forced. You can't smoke. You are forced to do all kinds of things because states have authority to do whatever they want as long as it's not specifically mentioned in the Constitution. And I've detailed that over and over again. So go back and listen. Paul says, I recommend JMAC's podcast. Very insightful and entertaining. Thank you. Thankful. And just so you know, the podcast, everything that you hear in the podcast, you get either in the lives or I've been releasing regular JMAC updates during the day. Those go in the podcast and they're also available at jmcfarland.com for our members. Any other comments on that? And Bossy, did I answer your question? If you're still there. Libby says, all the heroes are stumbling. Yeah, I think this was a really profound test. You know, it was a test of leadership, a test of integrity, a test of character. If you are a religious person, I think that there is a religious test in all of this. Did you choose to love your neighbor or did you choose to think about yourself? You know, because that's the one thing that I can't find, and I've looked. I can't find the civil liberties argument in the teachings of Christ. What I can find in the teachings of Christ is that you are supposed to love your neighbor, and that it's the second great commandment, and have concern for your neighbor. And so it's kind of weird, isn't it, that civil liberties has been combined with that message. And somehow, I don't know, is there a belief? There must be. Do you think there's a belief among a particular group of people that Christ would be out at these anti-mask rallies? There must be. You know, there must be. That instead of him coming out and saying, please, these are all your brothers and sisters. Care about them. Do things for them. Go out of your way for them. I think he'd be saying, no. You do you. You know what I mean? Just sad. Okay. All right. I think I'm done with the governor. I'll let you know. I would recommend that each of you ask the governor the same question, and maybe we can get through. It's a simple question. It's a fair question. It's not a loaded question. Hey, governor, you said that masks are not as effective after the as the pro-mask crowd say it is. And he said the majority or most of the pro-mask crowd. And you said it after the remarks of the state epidemiologist. Would you mind just sharing some insight with us? I think it's totally fair to ask. And I anxiously await the answer. Anxiously await. All right, let's talk Supreme Court, shall we? The screaming banner headline is that this is the end of Roe v. Wade. Gabby, is it Gabby? Is that your name? It's hard to tell with these Twitch streams. Asking if this is live. I don't know your real name, but if you want to share your real first name, I would love it. You tell me, is it live? On Tuesdays and Thursday nights, we are live. And he says, damn, this has great production quality. Thank you. We put a lot of time and effort into it, and a lot of it's because of our patrons who help support this this podcast. And if you like, one day I can show you my setup. Or if you're interested, maybe you want to stream or something, and you want to know my setup, just email me. And he says, "Where is everyone? Why am I the only one on Twitch?" Well, the majority. This is going out right now to nine different platforms. YouTube, Facebook. So you'll only see the ones that are participating on your platform, but everyone on all the platforms sees all of your comments. Orion saying, I probably shouldn't say that username on the air. Yeah. Yeah, probably a good point. So yeah, that's why. But everybody can see your comments, but we're all together on different platforms. So that's one of the other cool things we have set up here. So most of our viewers tonight, and usually most of them are on Facebook. So if you're interested in how to set up, just let me know, and I'll be glad to help you out. It's really simple once you get all the pieces in line. It does cost some money, though. There's some monthly fees associated with it. And I'm glad that you recognize that. Okay, let's go to Supreme Court. Is this the end of... Oh, wait. No, sorry. First of all, I got to go here. I got to show you this picture. Okay, here we go. So this is Twin Palms Chiropractic in Venice, Florida. Now, why is there a line out the door for a chiropractor during a pandemic? Look at that line of people. Well... This is Florida chiropractor Dan Bush. He is signing forms to medically exempt kids from wearing masks in the Sarasota County School District. So what have I shared with you? We've got people taking ivermectin for animals, and they're doing that instead of listening to, you know, the experts. To get your child cleared so that they can be mask-free in a school, don't go to your real doctor and ask your real doctor what they have to say. Go to the chiropractor. Oh, wow. Orion says that chiropractor must be handing out some ivermectin. No, just handing out excuses for kids, medical excuses, and the kids are in line there. So you get you send your kids to school. Heather says they're going to get adjusted to help their earaches. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Paul says chiropractors should not be allowed to make medical decisions. Chiropractors are a half step above a snake oil salesman, my opinion. I don't think, I just, you know, you're going to go to the chiropractor instead of a medical professional. You're going to trust online rumors about a drug that is not approved. And you're going to do that instead of taking the drug that is approved. Michael says it. He asks the question, what is happening? I know. And I think this could be a different world. I just really do. If when the pandemic first came out, we had somebody who brought us together as a country and who didn't downplay and who said, this is something that is attacking our country, just like a terrorist attacks our country. And we will respond the same way that we respond. And we will come together and we will fight this together. And the fastest path for everybody to return to school and to return to work and for the economy to return to greatness is for everybody to mask up and social distance. Do it because you love your country. Do it because you are a patriot. Do it because you love America. If we had a leader who waved the patriotic banner, and then that same leader put together Operation Warp Speed, and then that leader was out today on Operation Make America Healthy Again, I think that we would be in a time where these things would still exist, but they would be on the fringe. And that's the problem. This doesn't feel like fringe anymore to me. There's always been the fringe. This doesn't help the fringe. Kathy brings up an interesting point. She says it doesn't help when people like Joe Rogan are talking about taking ivermectin for COVID. So Joe Rogan, probably one of the most popular podcasters, has been downplaying and taking ivermectin. And did you see the news? He's got COVID. I just saw that just a few minutes ago. He's got the COVID. And I don't ever want to wish anybody ill. I hope that he recovers fully. But hopefully along that way, he learns his lesson. I really believe this could have been so different. So different. And it could have gone down as and been as historic as our response in World War II. As historic as President Bush with a megaphone standing at Ground Zero days after 9/11. It could have been burned into our souls. We could have been stronger together, more unified together. And what's so amazing about all that, I think our economy would be coming back sooner and Republicans would be in complete power because of that kind of leadership. Instead, we are a nation divided. The fringe has become the normal, and Republicans are not in power. And so what was it all for? You know, I just don't understand. What was it all for? Anyway, all right, Supreme Court, here it comes. It's this button over here. I got to remember which screen I'm looking at. Okay. The Supreme Court formally denied a request from Texas abortion providers to freeze a state law that bars abortions after 6 weeks. Chief Justice John Roberts joined the three liberal justices in dissent. This is a law unlike any other law because it actually takes the enforcement of the law out of the hands of the government. It makes it a civil case. And it allows individuals to bring lawsuits against abortion providers and anybody who helps participate in an abortion. That's why this law is getting so much attention, because they took a different approach. And it literally says that that a regular everyday citizen can sue an abortion clinic or somebody who has had an abortion. And if they win, they get awarded $10,000. It's like a bounty. And so what's happened is the lines are clear when it's the state being the enforcement authority. But they've used this tactic. They use it in Texas actually quite a bit. A lot of people wonder how red light cameras can be constitutional. When you have a right to confront your accuser, a constitutional right. and other constitutional issues with red light cameras. Well, one of the reasons why is because when you get flagged by a red light camera, it's civil. And that's how they got around everything. They just said, we'll make it civil. You'll get a civil fine. And that's basically what they've done with this abortion law, is they've made it civil. And so the courts are like, wow, we don't know what to do with this. And so what happened is the abortion clinics asked for an emergency injunction. And the Supreme Court denied that injunction. They did not make an official ruling. So this is not the end. This is maybe in the middle. And in fact, in the ruling, and I think this is a place where the media on the left side of this is ginning this up to be more than it is. And that's happening. And of course, politicians on the left are ginning this up to such a point because they want you to believe that this is the death of Roe v. Wade. And they're saying, see, this is what Trump wanted all along. When the reality is that the Supreme Court, well, listen to what they said. In an unsigned opinion, and by the way, they issued this in something called the Shadow Court, the majority wrote that while the clinics had raised serious questions regarding the constitutionality of the Texas law, they had not met a burden that would allow the court to block it at this time, due to complex and novel procedural questions. The majority stressed that it had not formed a conclusion about the constitutionality of the law, despite the order coming nearly 24 hours after the law, the tightest abortion restriction since the 1973 landmark. It said, the court said, in particular, this order is not based on any conclusion about the constitutionality of Texas's law and in no way limits other procedurally proper challenges to the Texas law, including in Texas state courts. Now, it's interesting. Does what I just told you, does it match the headlines that you're seeing? I don't think it does. When I first saw the headlines, you know, because I'm out and about and I'm getting notifications on my phone and stuff, the headlines, I mean, were like, it's done. Roe v. Wade is done. This headline is a little bit better. So this is CNN. Supreme Court denies request to stop ban with John Roberts and liberals dissenting. But again, when you dive into it, this thing is far from over. And of course, Democrats are rallying the troops and they're going to try and pass their own laws. And this thing will continue forward. What is going to happen is state legislatures around the country are going to look at this and they're going to go, Now, I will tell you that I cannot stand any type of gamesmanship when it comes to enforcing laws. If something would not be constitutional if it was passed as a enforcement by government, to go around it by making it a civil issue, to me, is just a loophole to skirt the Constitution. And for that reason, I cannot support this law. I think making everyday citizens the enforcers of this, I think this law is dangerous. I think it's reckless. I think it was passed just because they felt like it had a chance. But just like I came out aggressively when I was in Texas against red light cameras for the very same reason. If you can't get it through constitutionality, it is a cop-out to say, we'll just make it civil. You should stand by not just the letter, but the purpose, the design of the Constitution. And this is a way to wrangle and finagle around it. So for that that reason, I can't support it. Heather says they'll just go out and get an abortion in another state. Hang on, Heather. I'm trying to bring up your comment. There you go. I agree. So who knows what this Supreme Court will do with this law? But this was nothing more than a refusal to put in an emergency injunction. So it does mean in the short term that in Texas, 85% of the procedures that had been happening will not be able to happen now. And so who knows how long it will take the courts to rule on this and what that means. But I just think this is the worst way of running a government. And this is what we do. You know, we claim that we love the Constitution. We claim that we love the founders and they got it right. But then when things don't line up for us, then we start making exceptions. The other place we do this is with executive orders. We love that laws are supposed to be passed by the legislature. We love that when our party is in control. The Constitution is inspired when our party is in control. We love it. The Constitution is so amazing when our party is in control. When they're not, then all of a sudden it's like, we can't get what we need done. What are we going to do? Oh, I know. Let's just executive order the you-know-what out of it. And both sides do that. Both sides do that. And that's to me what this is. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. It's like people who believe that the Constitution is inspired, but then they will go and then gerrymander a voting district. Which is it? Because the greatest value of the Constitution is it lets the people decide who they want to represent them. And when you do things to diminish that power or to guarantee that you stay in power, then you're telling me you don't believe in the document. You believe in your own personal power and gain. So we see a lot of this in politics, and we got to screen that out. Yeah. All right. That's all I got, my friends. Is that enough for tonight? Carl says he thinks we're done. Be sure to get your Carl the Cricket t-shirt. Where is it? Where's Carl? Oh, you can't do it there, Jay. You got to do it over here. There's Carl. Carl the Cricket. just for fun. All right, my friends, that's all I have. Let's see more of your comments here. I want to make sure to get those out. This is Scott on Facebook. Agreed. Could you imagine if California made a law that any citizen could sue someone for having a gun, then letting them seize the gun with a writ of education, a writ of execution? Scott, I think that's a brilliant analogy. I think it's brilliant. Yeah, where would the Constitution be then? Where would the cries for civil liberty be then? You know, you say it's not. And I know there have been laws where they've tried to do this kind of stuff civilly. We're not enforcing this by statute. We're just saying that you can be sued for $10,000 if you have a gun. That's all. That's a great point, Scott. Thank you. Great point. All right. Anything else on your minds tonight? If not, I just want to say thank you to those of you who are patrons of this broadcast. If you are a patron on Podbean, you came on real early, and I love you. Or if you're on Patreon, I love you too. But you're not getting the other benefits and perks that are now available at jmcfarland.com. So if you do have to cancel your membership on Podbean and Patreon, but if you come over and become a member at the same level that you're at on those services, you now get fun prizes and cool rewards. So that's been something I've been working on for a while. I just feel like you needed a little bit more reward than you were getting. So take a minute and do that. And I posted some JMac update today with new videos, JMac snacks that are only available to members on jmacfarland.com, a blog post about playing basketball with my son, which is something that I never, ever thought would happen. But the pandemic has changed our lives so much, and I tell you about that in that blog. So check that out. I'd love your comments and your feedback. And if you can't become a patron, just please take a minute and like this video, share it, subscribe wherever you're watching, and help us spread the word. With that, my friends, me and Carl the Cricket, we're going to go and pack it in. I hope you have a wonderful night, and I will talk to you soon.